Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's John Hancock and Chris Ranji from Ballpark Village, Cardinals Nation. There's baseball today, 12:15, first pitch, and we are just getting this note that Wilson Contreras is now on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to the 16th. So that's not good. He's got that right shoulder strain. Jose Fermin has been recalled from Memphis.
That guy, I'd like to have his frequent flyer miles.
What, Contreras?
No, Fermin.
Oh, Fermin. That poor guy. Yeah. They probably make him drive.
Probably do.
Know.
That's Memphis.
So hour two of the show, we've got Katie Lee Collier, the owner of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. She's hanging out with us right now. There's a Katie's about 150 yards from here.
I see it.
And Katie is with us now. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Isn't it fun?
It is. Ask me any baseball questions.
You don't want to, do you have any baseball thoughts right now that you want to give us?
No.
No?
She's focused on the pizza and the pasta, buddy.
That's it.
So first of all, let's ask how things are going. You've got multiple locations around the area. Everything must be going well.
There's like 30 of those things. How many of those things do you have?
We're building our fourth in Crestwood. That'll be open in a few months. And then we're moving our Rock Hill location to a bigger space. We've outgrown it. So, all kinds of fun
stuff. It's booming. Katie's is booming.
It's booming.
Where's the Rock Hill location going?
It was a place called Momo's.
It's real close.
You know who owned that? Peter Hirschen's son, who's the owner of Silver Dollar City in much of Branson. His son owned Momo's. It was a Greek place.
You're full of everything.
Well, I am full of a lot, yes.
Katie, did you know that soybeans can make ink?
I think they can make everything.
Yeah.
That's why he told me about the ink thing today. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Soybeans and corn make everything.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So the place is doing well. Every time I go by, there are a million people there.
Yep. It's doing great. But today's a big announcement.
Big announcement. All right. Hit the drum roll.
Is this about the stores,
the frozen pizzas?
You tell people.
Okay. So I'm telling you guys first.
That's
what?
Amazing.
Yes.
Breaking news?
Breaking news.
Okay.
So about 3 months ago, we were awarded a big retailer. They said you have to make 400,000 pizzas in 96 days.
Wow.
And we have a small ragtag team, and we hand make all of our pizzas. And we scaled up and worked as hard as we possibly could, hit the deadline, which is an incredible story for the team. And we're announcing today that we're going to be in every single Target in the USA.
Wow. Every Target?
2,000, yes.
So there are five of you making 400,000 pizzas.
Well, there's 100 of us. It started with about 20 at the beginning of the 96 days. We scaled up quickly and put, frozen trucks out in the parking lot to hold them. And, it was an incredible feat. A documentary film crew followed it all. So you can see it on my Instagram right now, the little, the short films, and see what we did.
So, okay. All right, so they said you have to, in 96 days,
96
you have to make
days.
How many pizzas? It was about 500,000?
400,000.
I'm doing the math over here, Raj. Yeah. I'm assuming you're not going 24/7 on this deal.
We're doing 6 days
a week. 6 days a week. So
day
that's
and night.
Okay.
Day
so that's
and night.
That's a roughly 420 pizzas per person. Is that right? Over the course of the 96 days?
Sure. Yeah.
That's
how are you? I don't get it. How are you doing this?
We're hand making them. So we hand stretch wood, fire, top them with beautiful like burrata cheese, torn basil. They're really good.
They are so good.
Yeah.
All right. Where are you making them?
Put those things in the oven.
No, it's an oven, John.
I have a facility in Creve Coeur that I opened up during COVID. So this was our COVID pivot to keep everyone working, keep the restaurants open.
Yeah.
And then we got into Dierbergs and started scaling across the country in small retailers, like chains that had like 20 stores. And then we got this. And it was our first big shot, so we had to do it.
Okay, so, all right, so you had to do it. Now this will be a continuous thing,
yes,
right? It's not like, here's 400,000 pizzas when they're gone.
They're making pizzas in Creve Coeur as we speak right now.
All right, so you have to hire more people.
Yeah, and we're building a new big facility. It's a year-long exclusive.
This is cool.
And then we've got a lot of other retailers waiting in the wings, and we're scaling pretty quickly. We also have sauce, and they're going to carry our sauce, our pasta.
Man.
Yeah.
This is incredible. I mean, we're looking at a conglomeration here. This is going to be
it
big.
It really kind of is.
I mean, you're kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
This is
great.
What's cool is like it's a really competitive category, maybe the most competitive in consumer packaged goods.
A lot of pizza out there.
Frozen pizza is.
Yeah, it's dominated by like four players. So to be able to like.
None of which are any good.
Wait, DiGiorno, Jack's Pizza. Is Jack's one of them?
Well,
Tombstone.
All of those are owned by like. Two companies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The pizza conglomeration is one of the untold stories of our day.
Do you feel like you've broken in?
Yes.
We've broken and we've disrupted, hopefully.
Yes. Now, how many different varieties of pizza?
We have four flavors. So pepperoni, meatball, burrata margarita, and then we have a black garlic, which is a really cool. It's like a garlic cheese bread pizza.
Yum.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to have to continue to replenish the supply.
Yes, we're doing.
Which you're doing.
Yes.
How much sleep are you getting?
You know,
you're not physically making the pizzas yourself, are you?
She makes pizza.
During this
Katie's
push,
pizza.
Of course I did, because you can't ask people to do the impossible if you're not helping.
Right.
Which
okay,
was
right.
really fun to do and, you know, a great experience to be on the line with them.
Did you feel overwhelmed? I mean, when you have, like you said, you have the shot, you have to take it.
Yeah.
You have to do this. Did you feel overwhelmed at first or like, oh, no. Why did I do this?
You know, I felt overwhelmed after I said yes. And once we like dug in and realized what the challenge was and that there were days when we were like, we cannot do this. But how do you go back and say no? And how do you?
She read that book, Ross.
Which one?
She read the book. No, The Little Engine.
The Little Engine.
Yeah. And she said, I think I can do this. And sure enough, you pulled up. How old is Katie's Pizza?
17 years old.
What'd you do before Katie's Pizza?
I worked in restaurants.
Yeah.
So my story is high school dropout, started working in restaurants at 15.
Where'd you drop out of high school?
Clayton.
Clayton, yeah. Well. Wow. That's a good high school to drop out of.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for 17 years.
Yeah.
I did not realize it's been that long.
It's been that long.
Like, I know it's been a long time.
It'll be 18 in February.
First location.
On Clayton Road, it was a little hole-in-the-wall pizzeria. It was amazing,
yeah.
But dysfunctional, but amazing. Yeah.
Yes. How is the book doing?
You know, I'm in editing with a real editor and a literary agent, and it'll go to the masses soon.
She's going to end up owning the Cardinals. So here's my
prediction. Are you interested in buying the Cardinals?
She's going to get big. I mean, she's already big. She's
well,
got
yeah, she's
96
got...
pizzas a day and 400 pizzas a day. And
it's something like that.
It's incredible what they're
it's something
doing.
Like
and
that.
And it's about to, and once Walmart comes calling, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Well, we did win the Walmart golden ticket.
There
That's
it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
There it is.
So explain that to people with I remember you talking about the golden ticket.
Yeah, we went down last August, and they awarded us the golden ticket, which means you're awarded, you can get into Walmart. And so we're just scaling up to be ready for that partner, which will be, you know, soon.
Because it's going to be Walmart. You got Sam's out there. Costco's going to come call. I mean, there's going to be Katie's Pizza. There will be a Katie's Pizza within 6 miles of every person that lives in the United States of America.
You're hired as my hype man.
I think there's a Katie's Pizza in my house.
Yeah.
So do you... once you do this, once it's available in Target, when again will that happen?
Today.
First of all.
Today.
Oh, today it's happening.
Today. All across the country.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is happening.
Target.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you going to, beyond the four different pizzas that you have available, do you think you'll expand from there? What'll be available frozen? Or are you just going to you know, do those
I think
those
I
really
want to
well.
Focus on those because yeah. we've tested everything for the last 17 years. We've tested many more frozen pizzas as well. These are the ones that everyone wants.
Yeah.
And then we have these, like, three beautiful sauces, two pastas, and then a frozen pasta entree.
How often does your menu change? Mm.
At the restaurants, it yes. changes. The full menu changes twice a year, but then, like, when there's hyper-seasonal stuff, that'll yeah. change every month.
You got any pumpkin spice over there?
Oh,
for the,
pumpkin
fall?
Will come. I don't know yeah. if we'll spice it up, but we'll.
Don't they have pumpkin pasta?
Oh yeah,
they have
yeah,
to,
right.
They
absolutely.
Have to. There's
yeah,
pumpkin
you fill
everything.
Fill with pumpkin.
That's what
yeah.
it is.
Like a butternut squash.
Are you doing that?
We're going to be doing that this year. Yeah, and we've we hand make every noodle. So. Kind of the
they're,
same with the frozen pizzas.
They're making
every
the noodles, Ron. This isn't some slipshod operation over
no,
here.
No, I know.
Katie.
Clearly, it's not.
They're cranking noodles out of the noodle machine.
Clearly.
How do you make the noodles?
We hand make them. So we roll out big sheets.
Made
and,
lovingly
yeah,
by hand.
Yes,
that's right.
By
yeah.
your neighbors.
Yeah.
By, right, wow. They're right over
this
there.
Is amazing.
We'll send over some pasta.
I've never heard anything like this. This Please is amazing. It, dropped out of high school, and now she's a multi-billionaire. That's,
not
that's
yet,
incredible.
Not yet.
Well, you're getting there. You're well on your way, Katie.
Oh, good.
Katie's so, Pizza. How'd you come up with the name?
You know, I opened the first place with my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, I think people will like you more than they'll like me. So we named it after
You're more
me.
Personable than dad.
What's his name?
He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
He was a tough guy.
You're good front of the house.
Good that's, front of the house.
That's what you're there for. So, okay, we're happy that you came by.
Delighted.
This is really cool
Thank
about
you.
Target.
Thank you, guys.
And then when
it.
Walmart happens, let us know. You have to tell us first.
I know. This is cool. You guys broke the news.
I'm just pinching myself over here and turning
oh,
red.
Oh, stop it.
That's amazing.
I can't believe it. Katie Lee Collier, owner of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. Is there anything else you want people to know about?
Go to Target so
go
you can
Target.
Support this St. Louis company so that they don't kick us off the shelves.
Okay. Do they give you a target like how well you have to do in a certain amount of time, or they will...
We're on for a year, so we'd like
okay.
to be on for
right.
longer than that.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, you're gonna do great.
They've got what they call the target over there. And if you're selling at the target, you gotta hit the target.
That's very good.
So help us hit it.
Katie Lee Collier,
Thank
owner
you.
Of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. Again, you can find the new frozen stuff at Target. That's really awesome.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It's great.
Amazing.
St. Louis company doing
away.
Well. Really happy.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Katie Lee Collier with us on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
you're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's too late now.
I've always advocated for using the text line at 314-436-7900.
Yeah.
I do not condone using the text line to say things like, go pack, go.
Hmm.
You're not allowed.
Well, the Packers, you know, they haven't won a Super Bowl for, what's it been? A while.
Probably like 12 years. No, 15. I think it was 2010 they won.
Did they?
I think we're over that. We're over the Packers thing. We don't need to be doing all this Packers nonsense
anymore.
They
won in the Brett Favre era.
They did, and they won one with
what's
dummy.
His name?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Just both detestable human beings, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And there was, I'm going to tell you, there was a time where with Rodgers and the way he played against my team, I could do nothing but say, all right, there was that play.
Yeah.
From a few years ago when he was still when he was still with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Where he ran a ball into the end zone, he scored a touchdown. And he yelled at the crowd, I still own you.
Ooh.
And I thought, you know
it's
what?
Kind of arrogant.
That is incredible. That's incredible. You know what? He does own us. He does. He owns the Bears. We have to wear it. We have to allow him that.
The Hallis family still owns the Bears, don't they?
So Virginia McCaskey just died in the offseason.
Right.
She was like 140
or
something.
No, she was old.
Yeah. So she's, she passed on.
Was she the daughter of George Hallis?
The granddaughter of George Hallis.
Yeah.
Yes. So George McCaskey, he runs the show
That's
now.
Her husband.
No, that's her son.
Her son. So he's the fourth generation of the Hallises.
Yeah.
George Hallis, of course, a Greek-American.
Sure.
And George Hallis, of course, originally owned the team when they were called the Decatur Staleys.
The Decatur. And Staley is the name of their mascot, the bear.
Yeah. And Staleys, of course, is a, I don't know what they are. It's a food company. Based in Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah.
Archer Daniel Midland is
Archer
in the same.
ADM, I know about them.
They're there as well. And I think Staley's is in the same basic industry as ADM.
Let me tell you this. The Chicago Bears are a perfect example of why families should not necessarily pass down their business from generation to generation. Because the current Hallis family of people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Is that right?
And I don't
think that. I think that happens a lot.
That's what I'm talking about. And well, in regular business, I'm sure. But this is the you do not give your business to your kids just because they're your kids. They may run the business into the ground.
Good.
They don't necessarily know what they're doing because you knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's pretty rare. In the corporate world, to see a third or fourth generation family. They happen, but they're rare.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of families, by the third generation, they just cash out and sell it to somebody. And, you know, you've got all these private equity companies out there now that go around and target the third generation and buy those family businesses.
Yeah. Well, somebody needs to buy the Bears family business because they don't know what they're
doing. What do you think the Bears are worth? A couple billion?
Oh, they're probably worth at least six. I bet it's seven or eight.
Billion,
yes.
Wow.
The Cardinals are worth a couple billion.
Right.
NFL teams are extremely valuable.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
Very, very valuable.
It's quite an exclusive and club they've got.
It is an exclusive club, and that is one of the storied franchises.
Yeah.
Though the story seems to have ended in the mid-'80s. But that's one of those franchises that if you were to own it, automatically you've got a brand.
Yeah.
Right? And so you know, it's like the Cardinals, the Yankees, Dodgers are one of those teams. You know, the Cowboys, absolutely one of those teams. By the way, the Bears play the Cowboys next.
Well, they might win that one.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, the other interesting thing, of course, is the St. Louis Rams, when they were here, when Georgia Frontier passed away, her kids, the Rosenblum siblings, Carol Rosenblum's children, couldn't afford the estate taxes that they owed. And so they had to sell their share of the team. They were the majority owners of the St. Louis Rams. They sold that to Stan Kroenke because the Rosenblum kids couldn't pay the estate taxes. And now the Rams are in L.A. Very sad.
Well, that's it's one of the reasons that, as you know, John, some people in St. Louis just despise the NFL. And I don't blame them. I don't blame anybody here for hating on the NFL, though it still does do pretty well
it's
here
a, it's
in
a
terms
great
of
product.
Ratings.
It's a great product. It's a great game. Even, you know, if you paid attention to some of these roughing the passer calls that have happened in the first 2 weeks, it's a little infuriating.
Yeah,
I
think they've done a better job at figuring out the penalties, the roughing penalties and some of the offensive penalties or the penalties on the defense. You know, it used to get at first when they didn't quite know what they were doing, some of those calls are pretty touchy. But I think they've improved that quite a bit.
I don't know. I've seen at least three in the first 2 weeks that, you know.
Questionable.
Very questionable, in my ever-so-humble opinion.
John Hancock, Chris Ronji, we are here at Ballpark Village, Cardinals Nation, the
people
restaurant.
People streaming through this place.
Well, the place is open now. It is open. There's a day game today. It's the last weekday daytime game at Busch Stadium this season. They will play at 12:15. We've got the pregame show at 11:20. At 11 o'clock, John and I are out, and then I will be on the plaza, the Together Credit Union Plaza, right outside here, kind of near the stage.
Get those cars, ladies, and get down here and catch yourself an eye full of Chris Ronge.
Yeah, catch yourself an eye full of me. I will be giving out some tickets. I got Cardinals tickets for the game today. And while supplies last, I'll be giving them out. You know, you might have to earn them. I haven't decided how I'm giving them away. But you'll come down and do that. Also, Jerry Kelly, Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, thanks to them and 100 Acts of Kindness, which we are doing throughout the end of the year. Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll extend it into next year.
Well, you gotta blow past 100 if you get to the end.
Maybe
of the
we'll
year.
Do kind acts going into 2026 also. But thanks to Jerry Kelly today, we'll be on that plaza, and we'll have the compliment wheel. I'll be giving out free compliments to people if you stop by. If you need your day brightened, I'm your guy.
There's no bolt of sunshine I've ever met more like Chris Ronge, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX, sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
Cardinal fans are standing here, backing Riley O'Brien. The pitch, a swing, ground ball to third. Arenado scoops him with the backhand and throws him out. That's a Redbird winner, and light up the night in downtown St. Louis. The Cardinals have evened up the series at a game apiece, and they've won the season series over Cincinnati by taking 7 of the first 12 games.
So the Cardinals today will wrap up their series against the Cincinnati Reds. 12:15 is the first pitch. We've got the pregame show at 11:20 on 104.1 FM KMOX and the Odyssey app. John Hancock and Chris Ronge today. We're live at Cardinals Nation right across the street. We are at Ballpark Village. Time to bring in the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, who is with us now. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine. Beautiful day here. They have a career day going on down on the field. The Reds are out throwing the football around. And Whitey used to say that if you're throwing the football around late in the year, the season's over. But I see a lot of teams doing that now, so they're doing it much earlier in the year. So I think might be a little too soon at that point, but a lot going on here, and the Cardinals have a chance to win 2 out of 3 like they did in Cincinnati, except they kind of done it the other way around. They won the first 2 games and lost the Sunday game that had the matchup of Pallante against Brady Singer, the matchup we have today. So the Cardinals need to get some runs, and Pallante attack the strike zone and take 2 out of 3.
Reds are a couple of games out of a wild card spot right now, so they certainly have something to play for in the last week or so. Diamondbacks are a game and a half behind in that for them from that third spot. So you mentioned Andre Pallante, who starts today. As you look at his season overall, John, what are your overall impressions of him and what he's done?
Well, he hasn't kept the ball out of the middle of the plate as much as he would like, and his slider and or his cutter and his fastball are pretty similar, pretty close in speed. And when he's been able to land his curveball, he's been a lot more effective pitcher. And he's been able to keep the sinker in on batters. When he's pitched inside, he has really been effective. And that's why I'm saying that if he can continue to build off of that and have something positive going into the season next year, going into spring training, get him some runs and see what he can do.
Last night's game saw rookie McGreevy goes seven innings, give up three hits, no runs, six strikeouts for Michael McGreevy. This kid, he doesn't have overpowering stuff, but he's got stuff, John.
Well, he's a pitcher. That's the thing, John. He pitches, and he moves the ball around, and there are times he leaves it in the middle of the plate, and he's paid for that. But he keeps you in the game. He consistently gives you five, six, and into the seventh inning, and he'd be a terrific guy in anybody's rotation, and he's going to fit in, I think, very well next year. I thought he was one of our best pitchers, if not the best, in September last year. And he was a guy who was kind of an insurance policy because Steven Matz was still on the roster, and they had Fetty here from the trade last year. And it's just too bad that McGreevy wasn't up a little bit earlier, but you can play, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda all you want, and that doesn't change anything. But the fact he is here and performing, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he reminds me a little bit. Curious to get your reaction to this. He reminds me a little bit about watching Bob Forsch come up in the early 1970s. Same kind of pitcher, isn't he?
Well, I think Forsch had a little more on the fastball than McGreevy. But Bob Forsch was a true pitcher, and he had a lot of guts when he went out there, too. He had a lot of courage in his starts and determination and purpose. And I see that from McGreevy. I think they're similar in that regard. But McGreevy doesn't rattle easily. I can see some bad body language on a breaking ball that kind of slipped out of his hand. He didn't like the follow-through, but that's where it stops. He gets back out there. He competes. He tries to do his best to neutralize the running game and help his catcher. He does a lot of things right, and he's a very smart pitcher. And I think he has a lot of leadership qualities, too. We'll see those as he moves on and spends more time with the Cardinals.
Ollie Marmol on the Gas House Gang yesterday. He's with us every Tuesday at 12 o'clock. And we talked a little bit about Kyle Leahy and him building up his innings so that he's got a good foundation just in case they wanted to, you know, have him try out in spring training for a starting position next year in the rotation. What would you think of him? What does his Leahy's repertoire in terms of being a starting pitcher, how much do those two things jive together?
Well, he is being built up, I think, to take a shot at being a starter, being in the rotation, and he has the pitches to do it. And I think he has the makeup to do it. And he has that experience of high leverage situations late in games. And as a starter, then he can use all of his pitches and plan his game out and execute that with the catcher and so on. I think he's very good. And I like the prospects of the Cardinals starting Leahy next year. But I certainly like what he's done at the end of games. And he goes out there and he gives Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake everything he has each time out. And I just thought he was a little gassed at the end of his last outing because he's been used a lot lately. Those two extra inning games on the road trip, the 13-inning game in Seattle on Wednesday, the extra inning game on Saturday in Milwaukee, I think it took a lot out of the bullpen. But I admire these guys. They'll go in and tell Ollie, you know what, I probably could use a day, but if you need me, I'm there for whatever you have in mind.
Yeah, what are you hearing out of the ball club about Liam Doyle, the number one draft pick? He's at Double A Springfield right now, I think.
I don't hear a lot because I haven't had a chance to talk to Patrick Anderson about him, but I think he's progressing the way they would like, and I'm sure we'll see him in spring training.
Yeah, going to see a lot of Sujacy now with Mason Wynn done for the season. This is a guy that is maybe auditioning for a spot on this ball club for next year, you think?
Oh, there's no question he is. And he's a right-handed bat where we have a makeup of so many left-handed bats in the lineup right now on the team and at the minor league level that Sujacy is in a pretty good spot where he could compete to be an extra infielder and a right-handed bat available off the bench, but a guy who could play 3-4 days a week in the lineup, spelling other players, anything they'd have in mind because he does put the ball in play. The guy's been a hitter. And he's been making adjustments here. And I grew a little tired of having to say every time, well, his only home run was in April in Boston. Well, he ended that last night with a line drive to get out of here in no time. And he gets extra base hits, and he puts the ball in play. And there are times where he's hit a rough patch of strikeouts. But for the most part, he puts the ball in play, and he's building a case that he should be on that 26-man roster next year.
Cardinals and Reds this afternoon, 12:15 first pitch. The pregame show here on KMOX happens at 11:20. That is not an accident. We're talking to John Rooney. We'll be listening to the game today. John, thank you for being with us again.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a great day, and let's get a win.
All right, thanks, John.
John Rooney, Cardinals baseball today.
Yep.
And it is. It's sunny. Right now it's 80 degrees. So it's going to get a little warm today, but
yeah,
why?
Come on, man!
Like,
it's gotta be fine out there.
Why would you not just take a day off? What's the purpose of going into work today?
Exactly.
There's nothing good happening.
Nothing there for you.
So, John, every Wednesday we do the midday midlife.
Wow!
Talk about people in their midlife area. It's not a crisis. But just, you know, how they're behaving, what they're doing. For some, it is actually a crisis.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people in the midlife have decided not to have children.
You don't say.
Why is that? We're going to talk to Katie Gillis, licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist. Katie will join the show when we come back. It's John Hancock and Chris Ranji from Cardinals Nation. We're going to be at the Together Credit Union Plaza. Right at 11 o'clock, we've got Cardinals tickets to give away for the game today. It's for the game today, so if you want to come down and hopefully snag a couple of tickets, they might be gone by the time you get here. You never know. But we will be there starting at 11 o'clock. It's 104.1 FM KMOX. John Hancock and Chris Ranji from Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. Baseball this afternoon, 12:15. Cardinals and Reds, that's the first pitch, and we're taking you up until Tom Ackerman will take over at 11 o'clock. I'm glad you're with us today. It's time for the midday midlife as we discuss all kinds of issues for those in their 30s and 40s and, you know, trying to navigate this part of their lives. 50 is not considered. Yeah, 50's in your midlife, of course. Katie Gillis is a licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist and is with us now on KMOX. Katie, we appreciate your time. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And I fall into this category. More adults are choosing not to have kids. Why is that happening? And I don't know if I want to call it a problem, but how prevalent is it?
So it's more prevalent. So I was kind of chuckling when I heard you say, you know, our 50s, you know, the midlife. I'm kind of chuckling. I'm like, well, hopefully, because I got another few years left. But but actually, like, interestingly enough, research shows that people are just saying that they just don't want to, and that they're like kind of given more, I don't want to say permission, but I mean, you know, maybe they're feeling more comfortable being able to be comfortable with that decision, if that makes sense. Some other, you know, influences, of course, are economics, you know, and stuff like that. But it's interestingly enough, research is just saying that people are saying, you know, oh, I'm finally feeling comfortable being able to say no.
Yeah, there used to be kind of a social scorn, you know, going back into the 1950s and 60s in this country, where if you didn't have kids, you know, something was wrong with you. And that largely has gone away now.
Yeah, I think there is always going to be some kind of stigma, you know what I mean, or some kind of, you know, I guess, judgment, you know, if people, and then of course, I definitely understand, I have many friends and colleagues who are like, you know, wanting to have children, but can't, you
right.
know, for many different reasons. And I hold space for that. And I absolutely, you know, I understand, you know, and I feel for them. But definitely the stigma, you know, is changing, I think, at least for, you know, maybe our generation, you know, the midlife. I think we have choices that our, you know, parents and grandparents maybe couldn't have made as easily, for sure.
So why do people feel, has it been a thing where people maybe in the past wanted to not have kids but felt pressured to do it, and now they just don't feel that pressure anymore, or is there just a growing desire not to do it?
I think it's, honestly, I see, and of course I'm going to have a bias because, you know, I'm in the mental health realm, and so a lot of people who I interact with are going to have, you know, it's going to be related to, you know, their life and healing and stuff like that. Maybe there's some breaking generational patterns, things that I notice. But it's interestingly, you know, I'm seeing that there's less pressure. I have many you know, people who I talk to who will say, you know, I felt I had children just because I feel like it was the thing to do and felt like I had to. I felt no other option, you know, which is really too bad. And then I have many people who are child free in my circle, you know, both professionally and personally, who say, you know, I haven't really felt that pressure. And I kept feeling like I was going to, maybe in my 30s, mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s, and I haven't been feeling that same pressure. So definitely there's a social shift, I think.
So when you look at your clients, your professional clients, are there instances where you've got spouses who one wants kids and the other doesn't? How prevalent is that situation?
Yeah, I do see that, unfortunately. And that's a hard one because, you know, one person really wanting something is not going to change, you know, if the other person might not want children just as much as the other person does want them. And that's a very difficult situation to be in. So I feel for couples who are struggling with that, that is definitely something that comes up. But I notice that less and less with younger people. I notice that for people who are maybe more feeling like, you know, oh, my clock is ticking, so yeah, to speak, you know, that kind of thing. I'll see some of that sometimes.
I know that can be an irreconcilable thing where if one person wants to, the other one doesn't, you just can't get past it. If people are navigating it and trying to stay together despite it, what can they do?
That's a hard one because I think sometimes couples will kind of like look to me to like make that decision for them, which of course is something that, you know, that is something that, you know, is very personal. That is something it's hard to know. I do think that that's something where, you know, having communication and open communication is so important right then. And I don't think necessarily, you know, that it's about changing the other person. Maybe sometimes we explore, you know, what is it behind, you know, the desire, the want to have children that's coming up for you. Sometimes it's that, sometimes it's not, you know, as simple as that. So it definitely, there's a range for sure. That's a hard one.
I believe I've read where in the United States we have a declining birth rate. If that's true, are there societal implications with that?
I don't know. I've seen research either way. Yeah. I've seen research showing, you know, that we're declining, and then I've seen research showing that we're not. And it's so hard to know. You know what I mean? It's really hard to know. Like I certainly can't go out and count, you know, everyone. But I think that, you know, I think for every person like us, you know, or person, if anyone listening who can relate to this, I think if for every person like us, I think there are people, you know, that are in maybe the other camp who are, you know, wanting to have children, and that's, you know, one of the most important things they've wanted. And so I think there's always going to be that. I just think, you know, with the decrease and decline in pressure for people to feel like they have to have children, I think there are always going to be people who that's what they want. You know, so I don't think there are any major implications.
Yeah, we just have a few seconds here, about 20 seconds. So if people are feeling, they do feel that pressure, maybe didn't exist as much as it used to, but still does exist for some, what's the best way to navigate it?
I think just being able to allow yourself to explore it, explore what comes up for you, and, you know, kind of validating that, like, whatever your choice is, it's valid and it's important, and just kind of remembering that.
Katie Gillis, licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist. We appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for talking this topic over with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Katie Gillis. Yeah, I don't have kids right
there
now.
There you
John.
Have it.
As far as I'm aware, I don't
know.
Oh,
buddy, I think if you had kids, you'd know about it.
Oh, see, that's what I keep telling people.
It would be my best
guess. Every time I say I don't have kids, they go, that you know about. I'm like, you know what? If I had kids, they would find me.
I was a total accident.
You?
Yeah.
Well, I think that I'm...
I mean, a total accident.
I'm happy with you as
an accident.
I am
the product probably of a Cardinal game.
You probably are.
Late in the season, and Dad probably had a few too many.
Yeah.
And then 9 months later, there I am.
Speaking of the Cardinals, game's coming up. Tom Ackerman is going to join you next.
Tom
He's going to have the pregame show taking you up to
greats.
It. I will be out on the Together Credit Union Plaza giving out. I've got some tickets to give away for the game today. If you stop by, you might get them. They might be gone by the time you get them, get here, so you better hurry up. Also, Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical has us outside. We'll be giving away compliments. Part of 100 Acts of Kindness. Join me outside. This has been the Chris and Amy Show. Back tomorrow at 9 with John Hancock and Chris Ronji on KMOX.
You're listening to Leaf Filter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.